afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Butch Paul, and we will be bringing to you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Tuesday, January 16th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, ma'am. How are you?
Oh, it's just a wonderful day here. Discount Gold and Silver, myself.
Well, I'm glad it is. I bet you made $1 million already today, so you're sitting back relaxing, right?
Actually, it was a good day. We did, too.
All right. Well, don't forget where to tie that stuff now. You hear?
I hear ya.
Gracious. Anyway, it's good to be with you, Melody. Thanks for having me on again. I enjoy this broadcast to you. The hour goes by so fast. But thank you for having me on. I do appreciate it.
Well, you know what? I've been enjoying the hour, so there's lots of things to talk about. And I'm really beginning to understand that West Virginia drawl that you have.
Well, like we tell everybody, you know, lives everywhere in all these foreign states, we tell them, come down here and we'll learn how to talk right.
Well, you know, Gold did some talking today. The markets were very interesting today. And let me start with the gold price. We still had a little pressure in gold. Not much, down $1.30. We're still holding close to that 1340 range, 1339.40, down $1.30. Silver was down 13 cents at $17.30. Platinum is 1003 dollars, up $2. And palladium, they hit palladium a little over 3%, down 34 points at 1098. And they were all off the lows of the day. Big lows early in the morning. We had a huge triple-digit gain in the Dow. It was up over 250 points, closing in on 300 points. And it reversed itself late in the afternoon. It's really kind of surprised me. But let's go to the dollar. The U.S. dollar date today was down 0.03 at 90.41. So it looks like the trend on that U.S. index is downward. Crude oil was down 56 points at 63.74. And the paper markets today, as I mentioned, the Dow was up. It might have even ticked over 300 points. I don't watch it all day long, but it was well above 26,000. And the Dow settled down 10 points. So a huge reversal for the Dow. And yes, I get it. You had yesterday and the markets were closed. So you had a bit of catch up. Probably, you know, from Friday, the markets were strong. So you probably had a little bit of carryover and so forth. But I didn't think it would lose all of those points. But the Dow was down 10 points, 25,792. The NASDAQ was down 37 points at 7,224. The S&P was down 9 at 2776. 10-year yield, 2.54, holding there at that percentage level. The euro struck the 1.23. Japan and Hong Kong were stronger overnight. But hey, the confidence in this country continues to climb. They're loving the higher stock market prices. Bitcoin was down 20%. So that dropped big yesterday at 20%. Dropped, it came back today a little bit. The last time I looked at it, Bitcoin was down, I don't know, maybe 8% and 7%, somewhere around in there. And then right now I'm looking at down 19.80% at 11,074. We're going to talk about all of these things. I think, Pastor Butch, the one thing that I see that perhaps had a reversal, I'm not sure. This was an article, it's out of the Washington Post, and it was dated, timed at 2:46. And I think the market's, you know, quarter to three, you know, it's, not sure what time they reverse. But in a rarity, the Air Force temporarily is deploying three kinds of bombers to the Pacific. The B-52 Straddle Fortress bombers began arriving Tuesday at Anderson Air Force Base in Guam, temporarily providing the Pentagon with a rarity as tensions with North Korea continue to percolate. The presence of three kinds of bombers in the Pacific, the six B-52s and 300 airmen from Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana, will take over the U.S. military continuous bomber present mission in the Pacific from a unit of B-1B Lancer bombers at the end of the month. The mission, which has existed since 2004, is designed to reassure the U.S. allies in the region and sow strength against China, North Korea, and other potential adversaries. If we go down a little bit further, the deployments could have additional significance in the Pacific, considering the plane's capabilities. The B-2 is the only U.S. bomber capable of carrying a nuclear gravity bomb. The B-52s are able to carry smaller nuclear cruise missiles, while B-1s do not carry nuclear weapons as a result of the 2010 New START treaty between the U.S. and Russia. So, you know, the article goes on, and it's kind of interesting that this is happening at this time. Of course, they have the Olympics in South Korea beginning next month, and you do have those discussions, you know, between the two countries. And so it's the timing is interesting.
It is, and you have to wonder, is this father talking because the U.S. has shown some muscle? I don't know. By the way, if you hear something running in the background, I had a whole house generator put in, and they supposed to change the time, so it started on Wednesday and run the practice run, but it started today for some reason. I got called and told them to change that, but the generator ran to kick off in a few minutes. Nonetheless, I have to wonder, though, with all this show of force, if this isn't one of the reasons why North Korea is talking. I don't know. I mean, who knows? But it is kind of interesting that we're putting all that muscle in the Pacific, you know, and I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But it is curious. And these kind of tensions, usually when you have these kind of tensions going on with the Hawaiian debacle, you know, with the alarm going off, everybody thought they were under attack. And with all these things, generally the Dow markets react in a different direction. They don't go up, they go down. And that, to me in itself, is amazing.
And you also have to wonder, I don't know, this is a conspiracy theory that I've been hearing and so forth, but you also have to wonder, was that really a mistake with that button?
Yeah, I've read that same article you have on that. I don't know. I don't know. I just know that it happened, and for whatever reason, I don't trust it. The mainstream news, I don't trust them with reporting, but it happened. And again, generally, when bad things happen, the Dow drops a little bit. I don't know how in the world it jumped 26,000. You know, it's went up 2,000 points in the last 2 weeks.
It went up a thousand points, pretty much. Well, it went up a thousand just in a few days, but it went up to
25. How long did it take? About 2 weeks for that thing? What, 25,000?
Then went up to 26,000.
Yeah, yeah, boom, up, and then it's up again, and I don't know. But I do know the dollar is continuing to drop, and that's what, you know, it's kind of curious. I read an article here today from, I'm trying to find the source, Altmarket Brandon Smith, this is via Birch Gold Group, says, another strangely behaving market factor that has gone mostly unnoticed has been the dollar index. Beginning after the global financial crisis of 2008, the dollar value in reference to other foreign currencies initially moved in a rather predictable manner, collapsing in the face of unprecedented bailouts and stimulus programs by the Fed, which required unlimited fiat creation from thin air. Naturally, commodities responded to fill the void in wealth protection and explode in price. Oil markets in particular, which are priced only in the U.S. dollar, for the time being, nearly quadrupled. Gold witnessed a historic run, edging towards 2,000. You remember when that happened? It went up to almost $2,000 an ounce. Remember that?
Well, of course I do.
Yeah. But it says in the past few years, central banks have initiated a coordinated tightening policy, first by tapering QE, then raising interest rates, and now by decreasing their balance sheets. I would note that while oil and many other commodities plummeted in relative value to the dollar after tightening measures, gold has actually maintained a strong market presence as remained one of the best performing investments in recent years. And we know that. But it said normally Fed tightening policy should cause an ever-increasing boost to the dollar index. Instead, the dollar is facing a swift plunge not seen since 2003. But gold is maintaining a good level, Melody. It went up, it fluctuated, boom, up to about 1900 and back down where it is about 1350. But gold and silver maintain value. And it looks like people say, well, you know, it's changing value. No, it's really not. The dollar's changing value. Gold and silver never change because a gold coin that weighs an ounce will weigh an ounce 20 years now. It makes no difference. It's still an ounce of gold. And a dollar can be worth a nickel a day and 10 cents next week and back down the penny next week. So nothing fluctuates except the dollar.
You're absolutely correct. So as we see, so folks, you need to remember, as you see the price of gold continuing to rise, it means that the dollar is getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and it's going to take more of those dollars to make those purchases. And or I should say, it takes more of those dollars to make those purchases. So again, we're going to see inflation. I mean, you could look, you know what, government and the Fed, they're between a rock and a hard place. They truly are. We're in such uncharted territory. Never before in the history of the world and governments, and particularly our governments in recent modern history, have we had governments who have thrown their stimulus funds into their markets, into their economies, really just to promote a stronger paper markets and to keep the system afloat. So never before have we been at these levels, and it's just not one country, it's just not two countries, it's really the world's largest countries. And so when it collapses, it has been, they have used each other, they have synchronized, and that's the new word they use now. Well, yes, that, of course they have. They've synchronized all of the this explosion, all of this easy money. Everything, all of these increases and high numbers are all based on debt. There isn't any real numbers behind it. It's just like I heard a conversation today about Bitcoin. Well, what's the real number? Well, gee, I don't know. What's the real value of Bitcoin? Well, I don't know.
Who does know me? I know that.
Isn't that comforting?
It is. Well, see, that's, well, again, that's way above my head to understand this. We'll discuss this more in a little bit because I want to discuss it now. Arizona is proposing to let people pay their taxes in Bitcoin. Now, that, I can't, what is it?
That's not going to happen.
I mean, I can't imagine how that's going to work. Nonetheless, Venezuela is not quitting. I guess you've seen this. You know, they tried to go to the petro cryptocurrency, and it wasn't working so well. And now there's more riots in the streets over food, and people getting actually arrested and hurt over this. But now they had a meeting. The president of Venezuela had a meeting with, and his name is, I think, Maduro, met with countries from, Barbuda, Bolivia, Cuba, Dominica, Ecuador, and Nicaragua, Grenada, and other places, and asking would these 10 nations adopt the oil-backed cryptocurrency with them to make it stick for the whole world, not just there. So Venezuela is kind of grasping at straws right now. They certainly got themselves into a mess. We'll see what happens with the other ten nations. Will they join together like a European Union and make their own cryptocurrency? I don't know what's going to happen there, but Venezuela is in really bad shape, Melody, to the point of you know, almost a civil war. You know that.
Welcome to socialism. And
absolutely.
And even the U.S. Treasury today has warned U.S. investors to approach Venezuela's proposed cryptocurrency with caution, saying that it may contravene U.S. sanctions against the government of the Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. So there's warnings coming out from the government. What's interesting is back in December, middle of December, the end of December, when Maduro came out and proposed this, he gave no technical details about it. So it's like, okay. So they're hoping, the government is hoping that the petrol will offset the collapse of their currency. They've lost 97% in 1 year against the dollar on the black market.
And the dollar is worth nothing, so that's really bad, isn't it?
That's really bad. And so you're he's trying to urge these countries, these nations, to adopt his soon to be launched, but nobody knows anything about it. And even they have come out against Maduro and said, hey, that is against our constitution, but they feel that, you know, he's going to do whatever he wants to do anyway. So you're right about that civil war. They're close to it. So, you know, his country's constitution doesn't mean anything to him.
Oh, no. Ours haven't been doing so well lately either.
Well, anyway, that's another day. That's another story.
Not been doing so well. But, you know, you probably read this also. A couple in Florida, I think they live in a town called, I'm trying to find them city here. Oh, gosh. He took this case to the Supreme Court. Now, I want to read part of this to you. I'm going to make a point here. That if you can't invest in your own private property, Melody, and make it worth more money by investing or building and adding things to it, what is there left to build a life on in this country? Whenever the states and cities can tell you cannot add this to your home, what happens to what's left of your liberty? If you don't have a right to private property, you have nothing. You know that. Isn't that true?
That's true.
But it says, Holmes Beach, Florida, Lynn Train and Richard Hazen have spent $150,000 building a beachfront treehouse Anna Maria Island on Florida's west coast in their own backyard. But it wasn't the cost of the treehouse which was so expensive. It was the legal fees they spent trying to keep the city from tearing it down. After years of legal jousting, the couple has appealed their right to keep their treehouse all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. However, on Monday, the state won. Supreme Court claimed the case of the state forcing a property owner to tear down an expensive building on their own property was simply not worth their time. Did you hear that? The Supreme Court said the right of a citizen to build their own property is not worth their time to discuss. Now, is that really sad?
It is.
You know, but they have to tear it down. They have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to keep it. But it says, talk with the lady, her hope has run out. They're now going to be forced to continue to pay $50 per day fine, which has been racking up for weeks, or tear it down. Make no mistake, if this couple refuses to pay the fine, armed agents of the state will come to their home and arrest them. Now, that's living in a free country, folks. It really is. Nothing like living in a free country where you want to invest in your own property. Build something worthwhile and leave it to your children, perhaps. But the state says no, and the Supreme Court said, hey, we're not going to hear the case, it's not important to us. Melody, what in the world has happened to our nation?
That really is a sad situation. And, you know, these cities, these states, you know, or these homeowners associations, they have been given the rights to, you know, if you don't pay your homeowners association, and they're popping up everywhere, they're getting stronger and stronger, they can foreclose on you.
They can. Yes, they can.
Yes, they can foreclose on your home. You can owe them $100, and they can foreclose on you.
And if you have a broken window in your home, if you have a broken window in your home and you don't fix it right away, they can fine you. As a matter of fact, my son lives in one of those in Colorado Springs, and they're not allowed to have toys in the front yard after a certain hour. Now that, and he grew up here in the hills in the holler where I live, and I can't imagine he tolerates that. I couldn't stand that.
Hey, we're heading into break. We're heading into break. Folks, you're listening to Financial Survival, and we'll be right back in a few short minutes.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on shortwave radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Butch Paul as he joins me every, and you, every Tuesday and Thursday. So we're so happy to have him here. And 1-800-375-4188. I have two specials today. Actually, I have three. We're going to continue with the Mint State 63 $20 Liberty Gold piece at $1,495. It's really a steal at that price. We've had that at the peak of the market. It was trading $3,000, and the spreads between the Saint and the 63 Saint and the 63 Liberty is so narrow. I mean, it's just an incredible buy. During the peak, there was almost a $1,000 spread between the two. So it really is a great buy at $1,495. That's the Mint State 63 $20 Liberty Gold piece. And then we have a 1/10th ounce American Gold Eagle along with 20 Buffalo rounds, silver rounds. That is priced at $520. That includes your shipping cost. If you would like to upgrade those silver rounds to American Silver Eagles, you can do so, but it's going to cost you up a little bit more, $555 for the American Silver Eagle and the 1/10th ounce American Gold Eagle. And both of those prices include your shipping costs. So $520 and $555. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And you can also listen to these programs. You can listen live, and of course, they're archived also. So, dgscoins.com. We have a caller, Pastor Butch.
Okay, great. Let's take one.
We have Lance calling us. Good afternoon, Lance.
Good afternoon, Melody.
What do you have?
Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, Lance. How you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, cool. Okay, as Pastor, you might say, you done got my goats. All eight of them.
Done got your goat? Okay.
I mean, you did.
Okay.
Al used to hammer it home like a 16D nail every time. The dollar is a promise to pay, but gold and silver are actual
payment
money.
Yes.
Look it up in the legal dictionary. It's specie.
Yes,
it's money.
Yes.
Okay, so I submit that it is you're doing a wrong against the Father when you use currency, because it's an unjust weight and measure.
It's part of our curse, Lance.
This is a sin.
It's part of our curse. It really is, because we've done it. He's cursed this nation. And not only that, the same thing in Rome. Remember, they took the Roman money in and changed it for what they used to call lawful money in the temple, to use it for sacrifices. They used fiat currency in Rome, and look what it cost them. It cost them an empire. Our empire's fallen also. We're cursed because we use an unjust weight and measure, and we call it trading. It's absolutely a fraud, and you know that. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but here's the deal. Now, Mel, you're so smart, lady, but you drive me crazy when you say gold is your savings and silver is your checking. The historic balance of the ratio of gold to silver is anywhere from 12 to 1 to 16 to 1. What is it now, Mel? 70? 69? I mean, you should be piling in on silver like a maniac. I mean, yeah, you got to have gold too. But just look at the historical ratio.
Well, no, Lance. Okay, let me respond to your statement. You know, when I say that, it gives an idea of how you should be buying gold and silver and their true fundamentals. And, you know, it's one thing, it's not suitable for everyone to be piling into silver. It's my job to educate people on what gold does and why you buy gold, why you should buy silver. And those ratios were done, they're historic numbers. How do they comply today? How do they apply today? Do you, you know, so we don't know. I would not buy. She's a geologist.
Well, wait a minute. Go ahead, Melody.
Yeah, I mean, you have to truly look at the fundamentals of each, gold and silver, and what they do. You don't have central banks piling into silver. Silver's going to do very well. So both gold, silver, the precious metals, platinum, they're all going to do very well. So, but just because you tell someone to pile in on one thing doesn't mean it's right for someone else. If someone has $1 million that they're putting into the market, the first thing I'm going to say is you don't want it all in silver.
No, go ahead.
If someone has $20,000 and they want to put it in all into silver, well, that's their choice. But it's my job to educate and give them options.
Well,
so
what little bit I can spend, you know, I buy silver from you. That's what I mainly buy from you. You know that because I'm not a wealthy person. The silver seems like it is a little more bulk, so to speak. And I do like the silver eagles, as you already know. So I see both points. I certainly do. Storing gold, it takes less of it to make more value. That's a fact. But I do like silver too, and I see both your points. I do.
And those who tell people to pile all into, so yes, silver's going to do very well. I get that, but it's really not. A lot of these folks who tell you to pile all in and they use that ratio, if you look at their agenda and what they're doing, I'll guarantee you the majority of them have paper silver, and it's an easy market to manipulate both of them. And both gold and silver is easy to manipulate. I mean, when silver was going to $50 the last time, I knew when it started turning into a paper market, you know, and I was trying to tell some of my bigger buyers of silver, well, maybe you should trade some of it now, maybe a third of it. Oh, no, it's going higher. And look what happened. It dropped. They wouldn't have lost as much. You have more volatility with silver than you do gold. But there's very few people in this world of precious metals that will give you the honesty of when you should trade, when you shouldn't trade, what you should be buying, maybe, and what's suitable for each. What is your investment objective? Yours is silver,
well,
I guess.
You just said something there that was extremely sage-like. This is why I say you're a smart lady. Both markets are extremely tiny, mm-hmm. easily manipulated.
That's why they do.
Yes, exactly. But I guess my point being, I think you should buy smaller pieces of gold if you're a rich guy. If you're not rich, just pile into silver. But if you're a rich guy, you buy those smaller pieces of gold. Yeah, they cost more. I get that. You pay a premium. I've been at this a while. But you use that as your checking and silver as your savings. What do you think about that, Mel?
You know, I can't sit here and argue, you know, and I'm not going to argue with you. If that's what you believe and that's what you should do, then do it. But it wouldn't be my professional business. It wouldn't be my professional advice that I've been doing this for almost 25 years. I know the volatility of the markets. I follow the markets. Gold is going to be the monetary metal of the world. It is gold that is going to play a major part in the system. And gold has been recognized, along with silver, I get that, but as the main value of wealth. It is recognized as wealth. Gold is wealth. And so there's a lot.
Well, but there's an old saying, dear. Gold is the king's money. Silver is the people's money. Also, we consume silver. We consume it in electronics. We consume it in photography. We used to. We consume it in cars, all kinds of things. There's a lot less gold. There's a lot less silver above ground than there is gold. You know this, and I know this. So I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to argue with you.
There's nothing to argue about. What boils down to is what do you prefer? What do you prefer? Who prefers what?
And you know what? Industrial metal for silver is great. You're right. It's used in a lot of product. But, you know, a lot of people think that we're going to be going into a world depression. A lot of people think there might even be a nuclear war. So how well is that industrial usage of a product going to be? Number two, silver. People say, well, there's less above ground than gold. Really? You know, silver is easily mined. It's a byproduct. Doesn't even cost. I mean, it's a byproduct. I can't remember zinc or nickel. I think nickel. So you're getting, you know, silver out of the mines when they mine nickel. So there's a lot of misinformation that's floating out there. And the whole point is we really don't know. We're going through a time that is it's never been experienced before. So,
now, Mel,
stick to the fundamentals.
Now, okay, point number one. We have consumed the silver. It's not there. It's gone. We've consumed it. They didn't mine it back. It's gone. Point number two, it's easily mined as a process of nickel mining, I get that, but it's not easily mined if you just want to find it on your own. And it's a disgusting process whereby they use copious amounts of mercury and other poisons to extract it.
So, well, they use arsenic and gold.
Well, again, I'll just throw my two cents worth in this. Whatever you think,
I personally do
like silver too myself. Lance, I do. I buy gold and afford it. Was not very often, but it's personal preference. Melody would, you know, give her a professional opinion, and people make their own decision. That's all we can say on that. There's not much else. You know, what else can you say? That's what we do.
You know what? They've been crying shortages for silver for 20, 30 years. Half these guys that come into the silver market, you don't see them when silver's going down. You only see them when the price begins to move up, and now all of a sudden they're experts. A lot of these experts in the 90s were telling people not to buy silver. And now, and when we had one little rise, now all of a sudden they're experts and they're telling everybody that all they should be doing is buying silver. So, you know what? It's for someone like myself, it's frustrating because I've been around and I've known the history of a lot of these promoters and so forth, and I get where they're coming from. So there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of distractions, a lot of sensationalism on various promotion of various products, and so that's why to make informed decisions, smart decisions, the first thing is you get involved in gold and silver. That's the first thing you have to do. You have to do something. Get rid of those paper dollars and put it into something that's real. Then you have to learn about each, and each is different as far as the suitability, what you're looking. And that's why I ask questions. You know, how much are you looking to put into the market? Maybe you should do this. There's various products within each area that you could be purchasing. I've been talking about platinum. Platinum has been so underpriced. People should actually be buying platinum now. And also, if you don't have a lot of money, then silver's great. But the more you have and the more you're looking to protect your 401s, your IRAs, your pension plans, you know, where most people's money are sitting there. In any bank account, you're losing. So, you know, the big money, we talk about the wealthy people are buying land and gold. That should tell you there's something right there.
There's a lot, and everybody had different opinions. And Lance has good questions, though. I'm glad you chipped in on that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, the first thing you do is you call Mel at Discount Gold and Silver.
There you go. That's a whole key. Thank you, Lance.
I appreciate it.
And folks, I'll help out. The number to call is 800-375-4188. And yes, I do use Melody when I buy. She knows I do. If I sell, I use Melody. Melody, I want to share something very quickly. We're going to break a couple minutes. You know that, well, I'll just read it, but I'll explain so too, that California had a law passed that they could not cut the retirement of public employees. You know that. You heard that, I'm sure. But something changed in California. California Governor Jerry Brown said legal rulings may clear the way for making cuts to public pension benefits, which will go against long-standing assumptions and potentially provide financial relief to the state and its local governments. Brown said he has a hunch the courts would modify the so-called California rule, which holds that benefits promised to public employees can't be rolled back. The state Supreme Court is set to hear a case in which lower courts ruled that reductions to pensions are permissible if the payments remain reasonable for workers. Now, that is a big statement. I got a question to ask you, Melody. Who determines what's reasonable?
Today, who knows? Who? What's your answer?
I mean, I would assume that if the courts can cut it, the state can decide themselves what's reasonable. And I don't particularly trust politicians, so I wonder when they start cutting their pensions, what's going to be reasonable? California, by the way, has took over a number one slot that we had in West Virginia for a while, and we are not much the number one in anything, so I was kind of tickled. We were the poor state up until just recently. California now done took that bit of fame away from West Virginia, New Mexico, and Mississippi. California now the poor state. It's the most liberal state in the country and the poorest state in the country. That ought to tell you something.
Yeah, it certainly does.
It's a refuge state, and come in by the tens of thousands, and the state will take care of them. Folks, the state doesn't take care of them. You take care of them. That's why the state's going broke. That's why you're broke. And one out of every five people in California are below the poverty level and ain't making it. It's the wealthiest state in the country in a lot of different ways, but the most liberal, and they've lost everything.
You know, these states are so mismanaged. And you know what? When the stuff hits the fan, sometimes you wonder if people will react to the federal government or even to their own states or maybe to both. And they're going to learn that all their taxes have just been wasted. You have the Illinois financial crisis. They can't pay almost $17 billion. They have $17 billion in unpaid bills. And they don't have the money to pay for it. So you know where they're going to go? They're going to go to the pensions. I mean, whatever's left, that's where they're going to go. Whatever money is left, that's where they're going to go. And so anyway, folks, we're heading into a break. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, that is.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, and I'm Melody, and I'm here with Butch. Thank you. What's next?
Well, I want to say this. Really? Folks, I want to tell you this. This is Melody's program, and yes, she sells gold and silver, and yes, I support her, but I want to tell you this. I've dealt with gold and silver dealers in the past. I really have, more than one. And I've had a couple that really were good to me. But Melanie has been the most open, completely open and straightforward that I've ever dealt with in my lifetime. And I can't, and I don't know how to put this. I mean, for what credibility I have that I've earned, I put my money on Melanie as far as being the one I trust. And I mean that. 800-375-4188. I don't know if you're going to buy 10 silver dollars or 10,000, talk to Melanie.
You know what, Pastor Butch? What gets in my way is truth. Truth gets in my way.
Yeah, I understand that.
So I could sit here and I could go along with the sales pitches, get into silver. They're also setting everybody up to trade in the future. That's what they say. Buy silver now, and then when it hits the peak, then you can trade it for gold. So they're setting you up. They want you to sell your gold now, buy silver, or sell this and buy this and buy that, sell this. They're just setting you up for trades. I could go along with the program. I do fine telling the truth. But that's what gets in my way. I could just jump on the bandwagon and do the same thing. And so if you want the truth, when you're spending your hard-earned money, you can make any decision you want. I want you, my clients, make their decisions, and I help them. They don't
You want to make it on facts, not on sales pitches.
Exactly. And I can't tell you how many times people call me and they'll say, Melody, I have $100,000. I don't know what to do with it. And they want me to make all the decisions for them. It's
what's
like,
time to call me?
But we work
I'll help do something
and,
with it.
And they and we I educate them. It's basically what they're lacking. They're lacking in education of precious metals. So they get that education and they end up, do you know how many times people call me and they say, Melody, I have this gold and I don't have a clue what it is? They don't even know what they're sending me. It's because they got a hold of these people. These people are out there, the dealers on TV are selling 1.5 ounces of silver bullion rounds for premiums, telling people that they're commemoratives, and people are getting silver has to go to $50 before they break even.
Yep. I've watched some of the shows, and they rip people off. I know enough about metals to know, and coins to know, that they're ripping people off big time.
And they're part of the problem because they're pushing silver.
Yes.
So, if I jumped on their bandwagon, I could sell those same, I could sell the exact same 1.5 ounces. And my commercials would be next to theirs. And I almost had I did have a commercial written for Discount Gold and Silver. We were trying to get it on TV, but we were so busy we didn't have to do it. So, anyway.
Well, it's a thought anyway, but I want to share this too. Seattle, Washington. is trying to help poor people. So guess what they did? They raised taxes on other people. Now, I'm not making this up. In an effort to create $15 million revenue stream to help have better access, to help people have better access to fresh fruits and vegetables, the city of Seattle has begun imposing a 1.75 cent per ounce tax on all sugary beverages. Revealing the extreme absurdity of the new tax, the Gatorade Frost Variety Pack at Costco, previously priced at $15.99, will now be taxed $10.34, leaving consumers with the sticker shock at $26.33 price tag. Now, on the sign at Costco, Melody, is Gatorade Frost Variety Pack, Costco price $15.99. That's the regular price. Then it says recovery fee. City of Seattle sweetened beverage recovery fee is $10.34. So the total sale on this pack of Gatorade is $26.33, and are going to feed people fresh fruits and vegetables. Isn't that wonderful?
Wow. Yeah, I know where it's. Well, remember New York had the tax, the excess tax on the super Slurpees or whatever they were, the super duper.
Right.
You know, they had the, you know, extra tax on that.
Why is it that every form of government, local, county, state, federal, the answer is raise taxes? Why they throw trillions of dollars into against the wall and hope it sticks and nothing works, so they raise taxes again? Isn't that a sign of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results?
Mm-hmm.
But in countries, who suffers? We suffer. No, they don't suffer. They don't pay these things. I mean, they may pay the Gatorade, but our legislators don't even pay in Social Security. They don't have the same Social Security. They don't do that. They retire with full pay the rest of their life to get one term in. What do they care what they tax us?
They don't.
And they don't even work for us. They're paid by the World Fund. My mind's going blank. But we don't pay them. We do not pay them with their tax dollars. That we don't pay them. They're paid from the World Fund, not our money. Now that ought to tell you something. Who do you work for? Who's the loyalty to?
Well, you know, with the tax reform that just went through, I don't know which state or how that state would be affected by the property taxes and so forth. But I think you're going to see perhaps a lot of these little taxes popping up somewhere because these states are broke. It's just not California. It's just not Illinois. I mean, there's some good states that are doing all right and so forth, but there's a lot of states that aren't. And most of their pension funds are underfunded. They don't have the money in those accounts to pay for this upcoming. So you're going to see more and more taxes. You know, the more they give you in tax cuts, the more they're going to tax you.
Doesn't anybody get it? No, the government will not lose money. Believe me, in some states, we have a very low property tax. In our state, compared to most states, we have a very low property tax. But we have a very high gasoline tax. And they did away with the food tax, and they raised another tax. They will not lose money. They can't function without it. The only way they can get it is raise taxes. They found out last year in a legislative meeting last year, January, they found, I don't know, hundreds of automobiles sitting on the lots they didn't even know they had. They didn't even know they had these cars. And that's called tax waste. But now that they come back to the taxpayers here and raised the taxes on us last year to make up for the deficit when they had hundreds of cars that they didn't need in the first place, building. And I wrote a letter to the governor, wrote a letter to the Speaker of the House, and I told him this is what I thought. Why don't you get back in your pockets? You work 2 months a year as a legislators. Won't you take back some of those several thousand dollars you pay you every year and give it back to the state and help us fund this a little bit too, instead of raising taxes on us? I mean, it makes me angry. It does.
It does. And, you know, the number one, as I said before, you know, this country, we're bankrupt. We've been bankrupt for a very long time.
Long time.
And the tax reform, everybody's all excited. We've seen the stock market move up, what, 1,500 to 2,000 points in a 3-4 week time since the tax reform, all based on optimism. We've seen these countries that are, or these multinational corporations are parading their announcements of mainstream media is, you know, running these announcements that, you know, employees are going to get $1,000 bonuses, $2,000, $1,200 bonuses, or they're going to get raises, minimum wage raises to $15. You know, isn't this all grand? People are out there spending more money on Christmas than they ever had. There was over $100 billion purchased online over the holidays. Over 800 billion people spent for the holidays. It was all on debt because they're all excited about the money they're going to see in their paychecks. They're spending money before they even have it.
Well,
and I don't think they're going to get it because we're broke, if government gives you tax cuts, they're only going to raise it someplace else, and you'll end up paying more.
That's right. That's right.
And it's,
you know,
it's
you,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, you fade out. I didn't hear what you said.
Go
I lost
ahead.
You there at last. But we see all this come together, and then we see the government's going to run out of money here. What is it?
Friday.
The 19th?
This
Friday,
Friday,
I believe. Yeah.
Yes.
And they said because of the crap hole gate, that's what they call it, but I won't use the word they said. Trump supposedly called some nations, you know, crap hole nations. And that referring to the economies and stuff, he's right, they are. Not because of racial color. I'm not a pro-Trump guy in some way, but nonetheless, Trump meant financially, but that's beside the point. The liberals aren't going to hear that. Black unemployment is at the lowest rate it ever has been since they've been keeping records, but no one notices that, do they? But the government is supposed to run out of money this coming Friday, Melody. I just got a question. How much would you miss them? I mean, if they shut down federal parks, you know, I mean, the national park, I mean, how much would you miss them, really? Our legislatures in the state meet 2 months a year. So only 2 months a year, I'm scared of this place because they meet 2 months in a year. And then I'm February, March.
Yeah, but they're not going to be affected
February,
by the shutdown.
In this country, in this state.
Yeah, but they're not going to be affected by the shutdown. You know, you have your national parks. Your national parks will be shut down. All the, you know, and then they all get paid when they come back anyway. So, you know, it's.
I think we ought to send them home. Let them stay about a year at the house and make a living like we do. Live on what you and I make for a change. See if they can make it for a while. See if they want to go back to work and have their taxes raised again.
Yeah, send the politicians home and just let some of the people work. Yeah, you know, let enough people work to let the government
right.
Send the politicians home. You know, take away their pensions, take away
they are bloodsuckers. We were a healthy nation. We were a healthy nation at one time, Melody. We had real money. We had gold and silver currency. I hate that currency. Real monies, real assets. Then, of course, we got the Federal Reserve Command. We got the Social Security system. Then we got the income tax. We got all those things. And politicians start voting themselves raises and promise the raises to people that elect them in the office so they get raised their right price, their income again. It's a vicious circle. Most of the politicians, not all of them, but most of them are blood-sucking parasites on what's left of a body of a country that one time was a prosperous nation. And people say, well, it's prospering right now. Look at the stock market. That's great. I appreciate that. And I understand that maybe we're doing better financially in some ways. But, Melody, we're still playing we're trying to float a balloon that can't be floated much longer. It may go on a little while longer. I don't know when. But we built this whole system on debt, literally on debt. How long can you keep paying credit cards with credit cards?
Well, you know, the stock market, it's just an illusion anyway. It's not real. What's the real value of the stock market? You have these corporations buying back their own shares to keep their prices high.
Yes.
It's, you know, you have Bitcoin. That's a Ponzi scheme. You know, I mean, it's just the, you know, it has the only reason the price goes up is because people buy it. And who's buying it? To me, I'm, as far as I'm concerned, it's owned by the U.S. government. You know, even Mnuchin came out. I saw something today on Mnuchin. He says that he's going to work with the group of 20 nations to prevent cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin from becoming the digital equivalent of an anonymous Swiss bank account. Well, you know, he says Mnuchin said U.S. authorities, including the Federal Reserve, are the only ones that can track these activities. If you have a wallet to own Bitcoin, that company has the same obligation as a bank to know you as a customer. We can track those activities. The rest of the world doesn't have that. So we're the only government that can track these activities. So why wouldn't, how's that happen?
Amazing.
So, you know.
Well, you know, as I mentioned, Arizona just is trying to pass a bill, Senate Bill 1091, where people don't pay their taxes to Bitcoin. And they made a point in here, they pay with a credit card, why not Bitcoin? And I understand the point, there's nothing here really changing hands but digital computer. And now a Bitcoin billionaire by the name of Mike Novogratz wants to start a cryptocurrency merchant bank and deal in different venues and start a cryptocurrency merchant bank. Now, this is phenomenal. I mean, again, it's air. It's nothing tangible. And I can't get in my head how you keep something floating that's not tangible. It what makes it worth anything? That's my point. What makes it worth anything, Melody? What is it?
Air.
What makes it worth a dollar? I guess.
Because somebody put their dollar in there.
All we're doing is swapping around digits all the time. Credit cards, Bitcoin, even a paper dollar. We're swapping nothing for something and think we're making money. It's absolutely absurd. But again, we have nothing in our hands to show what we just got. Somebody paid me the credit card. I got a piece of paper with a receipt where I printed out. That's all I got. Where's the money in my hand? What value to get out of that? If you follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Well, you know, but reality.
I mean, how can I take that credit?
Reality will rear its ugly head, and reality will crash these markets. And whether somebody wants to open a cryptocurrency bank and so forth, they're just, you know, that's just, to me, I think that's just someone that's hooked on a, you know, fad that's going to be short-lived. And I'm not saying that, you know, when people talk about cashless societies, that this isn't the door that's being opened for that. But again, it's run by government. They want their taxes, they want their money, and they're going to take what they can. We're out of time. Hour went by quick. And make sure you
tune
in.
I'll see you next Tuesday, Melody.
All righty. Thank you. And listeners, we'll be back tomorrow. Dave Allen will be joining me. So until then, good night, be safe, and God bless.
I have a plan. If I got